Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to Acts chapter 5. We're in the fifth chapter of Acts today, Acts chapter 5, and we'll look at 11 verses. We have all kinds of people here at North Central Baptist Church, and all people are welcome here. Every race, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single, some are married, some have been married a long time, and some just got married. Some have kids, and some don't have kids. Now, many here today, many watching us today online are believers, but not all. Not all, but we're all here today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Our Lord compels this church to share Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. And because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. Now, church family, you know you're invited tonight to that meeting. It's at 6 o'clock. I want to make sure and get that right. And they're going to have refreshments. Some dinner will be there. They're going to have food for us to eat. It's going to be a wonderful time. They have the parking lot reserved next to the BCM. I got to thinking there may be folks here that don't know where the BCM is. If you go down to on 13th Street, right there at the corner of University and 13th, turn down University Avenue. And how many blocks is it down there, Kurt? Four blocks. It's four blocks. Thank you, Robert. It's four blocks to the BCM, the Baptist Campus Ministry. It's a great building. This is something that our church has cooperatively supported the whole time that we have been a church. And so even it is a blessing just to go down there every once in a while as a member of our church and see how God is using that building right on the campus of the University of Florida. But I want to make sure that I got you the time right. 6 o'clock, and then the actual presentation will be at 6:45. I want to get that right because, you know, if you make a mistake on that, I may mess you up. You heard about the guy that made one small error in an email. It went to the wrong person. What happened was he was a Chicago businessman. It was freezing cold in Chicago, so him and his wife booked a vacation down in sunny Florida, and so he went down there. She was on a business trip, had to meet him down there the next day. So he goes down there. He thinks, I'm going to write her an email, tell her I'm okay. So he writes an email, but he misses it by one letter. It turns out the address he sent it to was an elderly widow of a preacher who had just died. And the widow had just come from the funeral and opened up her email, and she saw this email, and when she saw it, she screamed. And everybody ran into the room to find out what it was. And when they looked on the screen, here's what they said, here's what they saw. It said, "Dearest wife, just got checked in." Everything prepared for your arrival tomorrow. I think that's when she screamed. P.S. Sure is hot down here. Well, so what time's the service? 6 o'clock. All right, I want to make sure and get that right. You be there tonight at 6 o'clock, it's going to be great, all right? Now, there are lessons that we learn in Scripture from different couples. I think about Abraham and Sarah. I think about Aquila and Priscilla, great church planters and mission-minded couple. Think about what you think about when I say the couple Joseph and Mary. Well, what do you think of when I say Ananias and Sapphira? I got some rumbling there. You know, I thought about titling this message, The Day People Died During the Offering. Or maybe titling the message, People Die at the Worship Service, A New Church Growth Method. I'd like for us to read Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. I'm going to read it from my copy of God's Word. I want you to follow along in your copy. And then I want us to look at the message, Lessons from Ananias and Sapphira. This is Acts chapter 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. Verse 7. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, Tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, Yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Verse 10, Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. Verse 11, So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. Lessons from Ananias and Sapphira. Here's the first lesson. Satan wants to interrupt the victorious progress of the people of God. Satan wants to interrupt the glorious and victorious progress of the people of God. We find out that Ananias and Sapphira were a part of the group that God was using powerfully. I want you to think about it. Think about all the great things that was happening in the church. And Satan gets involved in it. And church family, every church, every Christian, every family needs to always be mindful that Satan would love to raise his ugly head and hinder the work of God in your life, and hinder the work of God in your family, hinder the work of God in your church, in this church. In verse number 2, it says, And he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and he brought a certain part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. Verse 3, But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart? That refers to the influence that Satan had in the heart. The heart is the seat of decision making in the Bible. And Satan was influencing the decision making of Ananias. Now, references to Satan in the book of Acts are really rare. I did not realize that until I got into this study. References specifically to Satan in the book of Acts are rare. Now, there are a couple of them in this particular passage. The only other one that I think is there is in Acts 26, verse 17. Paul is describing his conversion and the words that Jesus said to him. And he said this to Paul. He said, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Then in verse 3 it says that Satan had filled his heart and he lied to the Holy Spirit, and he kept back part of the price. Now, was it the sin? Was it that he didn't bring it all? No. Was there other people sinning that they didn't bring any? No. The sin was his hypocrisy in saying it was all. He lied. He lied about it, and he committed that sin of hypocrisy. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 7 and 8, it says, "You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." That is what hypocrisy is. It's to put on a face. The word hypocrisy means to put on a mask. You want to appear some way in front of others to gain approval for yourself. In verse 3, it says, "You kept back." In verse 3, it says, "Satan has filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price and land for yourself, not what you said." That's the same word used in the Greek translation of the Old Testament in Joshua chapter 7, verse 1, the sin of Achan. Remember, the God's people went into Jericho and they defeated Jericho, and God said, do not take any spoil with you. In other words, don't gather up anything that is of value. And Achan couldn't stand it, and he gathered up treasures and he buried them under his tent and he hid them, and the Lord sent judgment upon Achan. He kept it for himself. It's the same word used to describe what Achan did in Joshua chapter 7 is what Ananias did, okay? Now, we see a similar context here when the Bible says that Satan entered into Judas in Luke chapter 22, verses 2 and 3. But the question is this demon possession? I want you to think about that. When I was coming along, I had been to college here at UF. It was at North Central. There was a lot of talk about demons and the influence of demons. And people had the question, can a believer be possessed by Satan? I think the answer to that is no. A believer who has truly been saved cannot be possessed by a demon or by Satan. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 19 and 20 says this, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit." The truth is, Satan can influence believers. We can be demonized in the sense of being influenced and allowing Satan to influence our heart in the decision-making of our life, but he cannot come in and stay and possess us. Because if you are truly a believer, then the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, lives within you, all right? And we have an escape. As a believer, we have an escape when faced with temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There is no temptation but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. He will not allow us to be tempted above what we are able, but will, with the temptation, provide a way of escape that we may be able to bear it." So we can escape, but the truth is, Satan wants to hinder and he wants to dirty up the Christian's life. The truth is, we can give in to him and his influence. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, it says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil." So, Christian, listen to me. If you continue to say yes to Satan, you can give place to Satan. You can give place to the devil and give him a stronghold in your life. Will he come in and possess you? I don't think so. But he can influence you, and it will result in you making decisions that will not be pleasing to the Lord, just as Ananias and Sapphira did that. In that passage, it goes on to say, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So the Holy Spirit has sealed you as a believer, but the truth of the matter is we have an adversary, and the devil is our adversary, and the devil wants to raise his ugly head and ruin the good things that God has done in your life as a believer, the good things that God has done in your family, the good things that God has done in your marriage, the good things that God has done in our church. The devil wants to raise his ugly head. Don't forget what 1 Peter chapter 5 says in verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Now, think about all the blessings of God on this early church. We've been studying it. Our theme is the gospel to the ends of the earth, all right? That's the overall theme of the book of Acts. But this first section is called Bold Beginnings, Acts 1 through 8. The gospel in Jerusalem. Remember the Acts chapter 1? Which verse is the outline for Acts? Acts chapter 1, verse what? 8. Who said 8? All right. I'm so glad we have one person that's been listening. You know, sometimes I ask those questions. I want to see how good a teacher I am, Will. And I ask those questions, and when nobody says anything, the Lord knocks me down a rung. And I realize I'm not that good, okay? But hey, say this after me, Acts 1:8. That is the outline for the book of Acts. What verse is it? Acts 1 what? See, you know that now. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem. That's the first section. Judea and Samaria, that's the second section. And what's the third section? To the uttermost parts of the earth, all right? So that's our study in the book of Acts. Chapters 1 through 8 is bold beginnings. Well, we've been studying that. And in Acts chapter 2, we learned that at the day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 souls saved. In Acts chapter 3, the lame man was healed. A crowd formed. Peter preached, and 5,000 men were saved. We read that in Acts chapter 4, verse 4. And then the religious leaders confronted them. They stood their ground. They were set free. They went back to their wonderful community of believers. And the Bible says the church, they were in prayer, and the church was shaken. Man, you think about the blessings that they were involved in. Probably if you count all the people, as the Bible says, and the Lord added daily, they had 120, then 3,000 were saved, then 5,000 men were saved. When you add all the ladies and you add the children, there was probably 20,000 people that had been saved thus far. Think about all the blessings. Well, guess what, folks? In the midst of blessings, Satan wants to raise his ugly head. That's, I think, one of the lessons of this text, one of the lessons of this passage. Right here tucked in the bold beginnings of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see Satan wants to raise his ugly head. I think about our blessings in our church. I think about people being saved and baptized, people that are coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I think about our church sending missionaries overseas. I was talking to John and Molly Wells by FaceTime or Zoom this week, and they were telling me about their work. John's been preaching in Malawi. Hey, we just sent them out, church family. You just had a part in sending them out to Malawi to make a difference in the world. Next week, our Central Asia partnership couple is going to be here, Matt and Jess Seitz. They're going to be sharing in the service next week. So, you know, I think about the blessings of our church, sending out missionaries overseas. I think about church planters that we've sent out. I think about reaching young people. I walked through the Sunday school this morning. I just stuck my head in the 201 room, the big room there in the educational building. And man, the teenagers were in there. Aren't you thankful for young people in the church? Praise God. Aren't you thankful for the blessings of teenagers that are learning about Jesus Christ and that love Jesus Christ and want to serve Jesus Christ and worship Jesus Christ? Listen, think about the blessings of our church. I think about our opportunity to reach internationals. I think about what happens through global connections and through what is happening in our own international ministry right here and people coming to know Jesus. We've got people, Dr. Minchin's teaching a Zoom Bible study. Did you meet this morning? He's got a Zoom Bible study going on with people Were there folks from overseas in the meeting today? Huh? Had several people in China that were listening in Bible study this morning. Our opportunity to reach internationals for Christ and reach students here. I think about reaching young couples. I think about several weeks ago the babies that we dedicated. Man, we had four families up here. Guess what? On Mother's Day, we got three more coming. Babies, babies, babies. Hey, y'all need to help us in the nursery. Y'all need to sign up. We need workers. We need people to love on these families and love on these babies and love on these children. Praise God for children. Aren't you thankful for children? Aren't you thankful for babies? Hey, listen. What would it be like to have church in here and not have little kids running around after church? You know, for the longest time, the whole time I've been here, when we ended church, especially when we did it on Sunday night, the kids would have races in here. And I thought, you know, there was a time when you'd say, wait a minute, this place is holy. This place is holy. And then I thought, well, wait a minute, we're eating barbecue chicken over here on Wednesday night. Hey, I personally won a knockout game on that basket right there, right in this building one time. I hadn't won many, so I keep bringing the one up that I did win, okay? But these other guys normally win. I think about a one on Wednesday night, old Chip Overstreet, man, he runs that wreck thing, and they play that game where they run to the color. Yeah, shipwreck, whatever it's called. I'm telling you, man. They'd have to call 911 if I got in that game. But I thought about those kids running around in here and having a memory that church is a wonderful place. Aren't you glad about it? Aren't you happy that we've got preschoolers, that we've got children, that we've got young people, that we've got these precious college students? Man, I tell you what, college students, let me tell you, I sat where you are, not in that very place, but I sat in the college department at North Central. Man, I tell you what, God used that. I was on an anvil of God's shaping in those days. Man, I didn't know up from down. I didn't know what I was going to major in. I didn't know anything. All I knew is that Jesus was my Savior. I was growing, and God directed me and guided me through those years. You're in a great spot. I'm so proud of you for being here. Church family, listen, I think about these college students, our residency program, those that graduate that feel called into ministry. We just sent one to Church Plant up in D.C. We're going to be sending others to different places. I think about our financial blessings. Hadn't even talked about that yet. I think about us getting debt-free. Amen? Amen? Boy, I tell you what, we're set up now to really borrow some money. Kelly, get out the resume. No, in all seriousness, what a glorious thing, what God has done in getting us out of debt. And we've been able to take the difference of that, a lot of it, and use it in missions and use it in making a difference. Spiritual growth as we study the Bible. Can I tell you this? Satan would love to interrupt all of this. Think about those bold beginnings in that early church. And all of a sudden, you have Ananias and Sapphira right here in chapter 5. So the first thing is Satan wants to interrupt the victorious progress of the people of God. Here's the second thing. The consequences are severe to one who openly defies the Holy Spirit. We see this in verses 4 through 10 as this situation is described. Now, the giving was voluntary in verse 4. Look at verse 4. Verse 4, Peter's talking to Ananias. He says, while it remained, was it not your own? Giving is guided by the Lord. The tithe is the Lord's. The tithe is holy unto the Lord. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, saith the Lord. But we are to be cheerful givers. And the scripture says that he said to him, was it not, when it remained with you, was it not your own? And then after it was sold, was it not in your own control? This is not some mandated thing that everybody had to sell everything they had and bring it and lay it at the apostles' feet. No, they chose to do that. It was not that they didn't give it all that was the sin. It was not that they gave that others didn't give that was a sin. No, it was that they gave and said it was all of it, and they lied. They lied so that everybody would see them. Oh, ho, ho, look at what I've done. Listen, the scripture says when we get the glory here, we don't get the glory, we don't get rewarded in heaven. When we're discreet about it here, the Lord blesses us in heaven. And just incidentally, that's one reason that I know nothing, praise the Lord. I don't know anything about who gives what in this church. We have other people that handle that. You know why? Because I don't want to see you on Sunday and shake your hand and go, oh man, I better make sure and shake their hand. They're a big giver. And then somebody over here who's not a big giver, somehow, if I'm not careful, I may think, well, I don't need to speak to them. I don't need to try to be their pastor. Hey, listen, let me tell you something. It is to be discreet. But here's what happened there. They lied to the Holy Spirit. And this was hypocrisy in what they did. All right? In verse 5, it says he fell down and breathed his last. Verse 5. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. The consequences are severe to one who openly defies the Holy Spirit. Verse 6, and the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and they buried him. Boy, that was quick. That was quick. Now, they must have had a cemetery right by the church. I don't know, but anyway. Verse 7, now it's about 3 hours later. I don't know why it took her 3 more hours to get to church. I'll just go on. Now, it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened, and Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So Sapphira could have repented, but she didn't. You know, the Bible says in 1 Peter 4:17, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. In other words, it's time, church family, for us all, between our relationship with Jesus, to make sure our relationship with him is authentic, that our relationship is real, our relationship is right. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, it describes this same mentality that Ananias and Sapphira had. In Deuteronomy 8:17, it says this, then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. You shall surely perish. Notice in verse 4, way back in verse 4, it says, while it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived? You see that word? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? That word conceived has with it the idea of purpose. They purposed beforehand that they were going to lie about it. Satan had influenced them in their heart, in the deep-seated place where decisions are made. And Peter says to them, why have you conceived this thing in your heart? All right? And he says there, you have not lied to men, but to God. How can you do this is basically what he's saying. In verse 9, talking about Sapphira, look what it says. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test? And that is a strong word that means you have like a high-handed sin. Like, God, I can get away with this. I can do this. Well, let me just tell you something, folks. When you sin that way and you lie to the Holy Spirit, there are great consequences. Now, here's the last thing. The last lesson, I think, from this text here is this. Sin in the church is serious. Sin in the church is serious. By the way, in verse 11, it's the first time we see the word church used in the book of Acts. Look at that. So great fear came upon all the church. In other places before that, the word was the multitude. Now all of a sudden, they're calling it a church. Okay? Sin in the church is serious. In verse 5, after Ananias fell down, in verse 5 it says, so great fear came upon all those who heard these things. In verse 11 it says, so great fear came upon all the church and upon all those who heard these things. Okay? What do you fear? Do you fear heights? Do you fear the ocean, maybe, the unknown of what's swimming around when you swim in the ocean? Do you fear going fast? Do you fear failure? What is it you fear? The Bible says great fear came upon all the people. The word is phobos mega. Phobos, you know, phobia is a fear. And the way the Greek language says it is phobos mega. It's great fear. It's the same word that is used for the shepherds when the angel came. The Bible says they stood before them and the glory of the Lord shone round about there and they were greatly afraid. It's the same word there. It's the same word that where Jesus delivered the Gadarene demoniac from all those demons, and the Bible says that the people were fearful. Great fear came upon the people there. We should fear, listen, we should fear hypocrisy in our lives. We should be fearful that, Lord, do not let us be hypocrites. Jesus called the Pharisees, he said, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. He said, you're like whitewashed graves. On the outside of the grave, it's just white. Man, it looks so pretty, but inside there's decay. What's inside a grave? Decay and nastiness and decay. And so that is the picture of it. We should fear lying and testing the Spirit of God. Hey, by the way, this is not always a popular subject, but you do know that Christians can die prematurely. You do know that, don't you? I hear people all the time say, well, I'm never going to die until the Lord, it's the Lord's will. Well, you can speed up the Lord's will. You can speed it up. In 1 Corinthians 11, when people take the Lord's Supper unworthily. Now, in a sense, I don't know that I've ever felt worthy to take the Lord's Supper. In a sense, I don't know that any believer. In other words, this is not the idea. I don't want to scare you from taking the Lord's Supper. Because I think every time we take the Lord's Supper, we acknowledge that it's only by the grace of God that we could have the supper because of what Jesus Christ has done in our life. But the truth is, if we live with hypocrisy to the point that we are in high-handed sin, testing the Spirit of God, lying to the Spirit of God, and that we come in here, hey, how you doing? Let's have the Lord's Supper. And you're living in a way that is completely lying to the Holy Spirit, testing the Holy Spirit, then I think you take it in a manner that God never intended. And here's what the Bible says. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you. And then it says, and many sleep. Sleeping in the Bible is death, is a picture of death. You know, in James chapter 5, verse 19, it says, brethren, if any among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. In 1 John 5:1, it talks about there is a sin leading to death. I think that's what happened here. I think because they tested the Holy Spirit and they lied to the Holy Spirit. And notice it wasn't Peter that pronounced the judgment. Peter just identified what happened. God's the one brought the judgment. It's not for you and I to judge those others. God can do the judging, amen? God can do the judging, but just be mindful that when we defy as a believer in Jesus, when we defy the Holy Spirit and we lie to the Holy Spirit and we test the Holy Spirit in that way, we may bring on some serious consequences. Sin in the church is serious. Now, people have asked this question, were Ananias and Sapphira true believers? I believe they were. Here's the reasons why. They were included among the true believers in chapter 4, verse 32, where it says they were all there. They were involved with the Holy Spirit. They lied to the Holy Spirit. They had a relationship with the Holy Spirit. They were believers. They had the Holy Spirit, and they were lying to the Holy Spirit. Number three, if they were not saved, what lesson about sin did this give to teach all the rest? They were fearful in the church because they knew these people were believers. Number four, we know that Satan can become involved with believers. 1 Peter 5 says that Satan is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And then he uses the word church, as I've mentioned, in verse 11. So here's a thought here. The church is not perfect. The church is not perfect. And we need to be on the lookout in our own lives for this hypocrisy, because Satan would love to raise his ugly head in each of our lives. Listen, in each of our families, in our church, in our individual lives, he would love to raise his ugly head and distract us from the blessings. Before this story, you see powerful preaching and unity. Guess what? After this story, you see powerful preaching and unity take place. But Satan is crafty. What realm does Satan work in? I want you to think about this. Don't answer out loud, just in your own mind. I want you to think about this. What realm does Satan work in? We know he works in the realm of darkness. I imagine over here, Carlton, over here, let's see, this line right here, over. Let's just imagine this is the realm of darkness. And over here, this line, right over here, Kate, right here, this is the realm of light. This is the realm of light. So what's in the middle? You got the darkness, you got the light. This is the gray area. This is the gray area. Well, we got all kinds of gray areas. Everybody wants to know, is it right or wrong to do this? Is it right or wrong to do this? There's nothing wrong with that, Pastor. Show me in the Bible where it says that. Those are the gray areas. I want you to think about something. What realm does Satan do his work? Do you know that 2 Corinthians chapter 11, make sure I got my reference right. I don't want to miss one character in that email. I mean, excuse me. 2 Corinthians says that Satan appears as an angel of light. Sometimes good things are the enemy of the best. Sometimes we need to be in prayer to make sure our guard is up, that we're walking circumspectly, because Satan wants to raise his ugly head in your life, in your family, and in this church to distract us from the blessings that he has done in saving us. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.